Is this on? And we will begin with the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Gina.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Bond? Councilmember Todd?
I'm here on telephone.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
I spoke with Councilmember Bond earlier today, and he was anticipating being here, so let's hold off on a motion to excuse until the end of the meeting. Okay, first up, as usual, is our audience communication. Nobody has signed up tonight. Did anybody want to talk to the council? Going once, twice? Carmen, name and address.
Hi, Carmen Fisher, 1463 Main Street, apartment B101. I rise to ask that agenda item G, amending the local ordinance on qualifications of applicants for the police department, be pulled from the consent agenda and brought for further discussion. This amendment, modeled after Senate Bill 6145, serves a laudable primary purpose of expanding the applicant pool from citizens only to include legal residents. However, the amendment goes on to provide that an applicant for a position may be rejected if the city deems that it does not have the materials, funding, or staff time necessary to conduct the background investigation required. If this provision had appeared in a more general listing of hiring guidelines, it could be facially neutral. However, in this context, talking about immigration, there's a significant danger of racially biased impact, whether that's intentional or incidental. Furthermore, even the appearance of racial animus to prospective applicants is problematic. I invite you to imagine being in the position of immigrants from various parts of the world. What are the qualities of those individuals who you would think would feel the most barred from service by this provision? Given the seriousness of potential negative impact, I believe it would be inappropriate to pass this ordinance as part of the consent agenda. Please at least take some time to consider whether your legitimate objectives can be accomplished in a more neutral way. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Going once, twice? On to the presentation, and tonight we have a presentation of a proclamation for the Kiwanis. And is everybody here? Jack LaPointe, Brianna Short. Okay, and then Jim and Jim. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read the resolution or proclamation, and then we're going to take pictures. And I appreciate you all bringing this to our attention and allowing us to share this with you. So, proclamation, whereas Kiwanis International was founded on January 2nd, 1915, and whereas since its inception, Kiwanis International has grown in over 90 countries worldwide, and whereas the men and women of the Pacific Northwest District of Kiwanis International have exhibited a deep sense of pride in community by serving the needs of family and children worldwide, and whereas the Pacific Northwest District of Kiwanis International has, effective October 1, 2010, initiated a multi-year district-wide service project, Kiwanis Children's Cancer Program, and whereas the Kiwanis Children Cancer Program, Mill Creek Kiwanis, will raise funds for the Children's Hospital Hematology Oncology Fellowships, allowing physicians to seek cures for currently untreatable forms of cancer, and whereas the local Kiwanis clubs in Snohomish County are the epitome of the defining statement, Kiwanis is a global organization of volunteers dedicated to changing the world one child, one community at a time. Now, therefore, I, Pam Pruitt, the mayor of the city of Mill Creek, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim September 2018 as Kiwanis Children's Cancer Awareness Month throughout the city of Mill Creek and encourage members of the community to celebrate the many contributions made by the members of the Kiwanis Clubs of Snohomish County. Thank you very much. And we have, We have the proclamation here to hand you. I see you brought us gifts. And
this is mainly, too, is we have a vision as we want a world free of childhood cancer. And we think we got the means and the support to do it. So with this little gift, just to say, goodbye, childhood cancer.
Okay.
God, well, I haven't done it before. As a professional photographer.
Do you want them to stand right here and us to speak?
Yeah,
just
in front of the... Yeah.
And we'll have them around there with you.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Stand behind you.
Do you want to stand
oh,
right
there?
Is
yeah,
that
you guys
want
to stand in front here.
Can you adjust for the belly?
I can Photoshop a few things for you.
Yeah.
Adjust the middle. Thank you guys so much. I mean, this is so important, and the worst thing that a parent could ever receive is the diagnosis of their child having cancer, and so we want to eliminate that completely. Thank you. Thank you.
Jim, we're trying to take a picture.
You have to turn around.
Do I have to turn around, Gloria?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I thought you were a pro.
Hey, Jared, can I have you? Oh. There you go. One, two. Hey, Brian, can I have you take that? Thank you.
Can you see my new goatee? No.
No. All right, cool. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much again.
Okay, first up is old business, and that's Exploration Park bid scope.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. The first evening of business tonight is professional services agreement in the amount of $20,900 to develop a new bid package. For Exploration Park, which potentially includes breaking the former bid package into several elements. It's important to note that this professional services agreement is not a redesign. It's simply dividing up the previous bid package for us to go forward later on this year. The Public Works Director is going to provide you a little more information, but my recommendation is to authorize me to execute the professional services agreement.
Good evening. So in addition to what Bob mentioned and what's in your agenda summary tonight, I wanted to point out that or remind council and all present that we have advertised this project. We advertised it earlier this year, and our engineer's estimate was about $1 million. Our lowest bid came in at $1.3 million, rough order of magnitude. Those are not exact numbers. That project was advertised based on a set of plans that were developed with community output, with community outreach input, I should say, and included a natural theme and a lot of custom developed elements to the park. So in today's agenda summary, I have put together table one, which is based on conversations that I've had with SVR, the design consultant. And they're not intended to be exact numbers, as the design consultant does not have a budget to develop this. That's what this amendment is all about. They're more for discussional purposes, for conversational purposes. And the base bid, which is the basic, what we're calling the basic field upgrades, includes grading, drainage, irrigation, planting, picnic tables, the internal pathways, and ADA compliance walkways. Those are in the order of magnitude of $655,000. Perhaps a little lower if you use the engineer's estimate. These numbers are more or less based on the lowest bid that we received. So what I want to point out is not necessarily the accuracy of the numbers, but more the percentage of the total project costs. So just to do this base bid, what we're calling the basic field upgrades, which would be needed pretty much for any kind of design, that's 50% of the budget. What we're calling here alternate A, the hillside play, those include plantings, natural play, and circulation features, estimated at 370. That's about 30% of the project budget. And then the remaining two items, which are tied to the playground area and furnishings, those are about 20% of the total project cost. So it's good to have this conversation because we need to be understanding as to how much of the total budget is going to which elements. And these are congruent. This breakdown that I've had conversation with SVR is honoring the design that we advertise. So staying with the same exact design package, the same exact design theme, but breaking it into different elements. And these are pretty much the elements. There's not many ways to break down this package as it is currently designed. As a reminder, on the adopted ACP, we currently have $500,000 for the budget of this project. In addition, and after the CAP was adopted, we learned from Snohomish County about an ILA for $100,000, which is tied to one of the alternates, alternate B, so a playground structure. So if we include that ILA, we have a total budget of $600,000. So clearly, there's a misalignment between the design and the budget. So I say this not with the intention to cause commotion, but more to have a conversation about where we take this. This amendment tonight honors the current design, again, acknowledging that there's a misalignment between the design and the budget. If we wanted to go back to the drawing table to redesign, this is not included here, not on the fee and not on the schedule. With this current package, the design team, myself and the design consultant, we're ready to advertise this in November, again, with the understanding that these are the price tags that come with this design. Just for discussional purposes, and I know it's a little far away, but still the drawing is big enough, this is Exploration Park. Probably looks like an optical, like an eyeball from your perspective. You can almost see it, how we broke it down. The base bid is for the entire circle. It takes into account grading, drainage, irrigation, the basic elements that would be part of any design for this particular location. Alternate B, or alternate A, which is the hillside play, is more or less in the center of this drawing. And then alternate B and C together are on the left side, which is the play area.
So, Gina, so the low bid estimate or low bidder was for the most part spot on then with his $1.3 million bid for Exploration Park. It's not like it was pulled out of the sky or something like that, right?
Well, these numbers are just estimates. They're closer to what we got from the lowest bidder than what they were to the engineer's estimate. Again, we didn't go through each and every bid item because at this point we're just having a conversation. But it would be fair to say that these dollars for each one of the base bid and the alternates would be somewhere between the engineer's estimate, which was roughly $1 million, and the lowest bidder, which was $1.3 million.
I think with this project, we kind of got off the rails a little bit by saying that, well, some have said that the developer only moved like $550,000 toward the project, so that's all we're supposed to spend. And I disagree with that for several reasons, especially since we have plenty in the REIT fund at this point for this project, and that's what the money's earmarked for and is supposed to go to anyway. So I'm happy to have this 1.3 discussion or 1.2, whatever it is, and maybe twist it up a little bit, but I don't want to get hung up on that low number like we did in the last meeting because I think it's not a genuine argument or conversation for this part.
Just to be clear, Councilmember Cavallari, the $530,000 wasn't the developer contribution. They dedicated the land, if I recall correctly, as part. Did they contribute park fees to this project too? I thought they just
contributed the land, but there were also mitigation.
Do we know how much the mitigation fees were? Okay.
I look at my notes. It was roughly $550,000, and the land was valued at close to $700,000.
Yeah. I think where we set ourselves up poorly is creating an expectation that the number, the WAG number we threw in the CIP 2 years ago created this unrealistic expectation. At the same time, when I look through these bids, I struggle to figure out how in the heck they come to some of these amounts. I mean, $14,000 in the low bid for three picnic tables? Let's go to Lowe's and buy a few picnic tables. So I know we can't quibble with line items in these bids, which is the challenge, but, you know, I could go through here, and some of these you could see where you can quickly get down to what we thought was close to the engineer's estimate. I mean, the irrigation system is double what we projected. I'm not sure why they bid so high, you know, $100,000 when we were estimating $55,000 to put in an irrigation system. So
I would have to look at the details. From my perspective, even before we advertised for bids, just based on the engineer's estimate, again, there's a misalignment between the budget and the design that we advertise. So I'm not exactly sure how, you know, when the location was developed, what was agreed to. All I know is that where we are today with these set of plans and our current budget, there is a misalignment.
Well, when we say budget, we never established a budget, did we? We established a WAG just to put in the CIP for what we thought it might cost, knowing that we really had no information. We didn't even have an estimate from our own engineer of what the cost might be when we did that 2 years ago. So I would caution saying that we had a budget. We had a guesstimate, a wild you-know-what guess of what we wanted to put in there for a number, so...
Which kind of reflected the comfort level. I mean, most of us thought for $500,000 we ought to have something. So either we're just – I'm struggling. I mean, $1.3 million for a park, it just seems like a lot of money to me. I get that we're doing $600,000 just to prep the surface to even make it usable, basically, which frustrates me. Maybe if we'd known that, we would have worked a different deal with the developer, but that opportunity's been missed. So,
Mike, do you have anything? Is he there?
Yeah, thanks. I think Gene already pointed out that we started off with a delta. Can people hear me okay? I should check first.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you. We started off with a delta between the budget and what the designer... The design that we arrived at. Now, the budget was based on what we spent on Hillside Park, and granted that was a number of years ago, but that's where we got the $500,000 for the CIP. We've recognized since then that this site was compacted, and so it should cost more than $500,000. I'm fine there. But still, somewhere we got off when we went and told the architect we had a $50,000 budget for our household kitchen remodel, and they came back with a $100,000 design. Some flag should have gone off for us. And that's the one that's still going off, and I think I just heard Councilmember Bond refer to that same thing. I'm scratching my head how we got off in the beginning. But we fell in love with this design. The community fell in love with this design. We can't always do everything the community wants us to do, because that's our job, is to make the tough decisions about dollars and cents, what we can afford. But I get it. We would love to do this. But the second delta is our engineer estimate of $1 million and the lowest bid of 1.3 and the higher bid of more than that, I think came in a climate we advertised at a time when these potential vendors were probably all booked up, and they said, what the heck, if we can get $1.3 million out of this, we'll go for it. And so, as Councilmember Holtzclaw said earlier, there's some pretty high line items. And yeah, we're not supposed to look at individual line items, but you can tell there's some scientific wild ass guesses in here that are not very scientific, just some pretty crazy numbers that just tells me somebody said, go for it and see what happens. So I'm not happy that our engineer estimate, table one, our estimate now is at 1.3. Gina laid it out really better. It's 50% for the first line, 30% for the second, and 20% for the last two. So table one really still ought to add up to about $1,078,000. That was our engineer's estimate, unless our design consultant says, oops, we goofed, and we gave you a bad number before. That also makes me scratch my head. Why are we paying these guys if they can't get the numbers right? Third part of this is, I know Arlington, City of Arlington went through something similar. They had a water park. Some very complicated part. They put out the bid a long time, last year I think it was, and they had to pull back and say this just didn't work. They put it out the bid at a better time, and they got their part for closer to their engineering estimate. I think just advertising it at the right time, which is probably November, is going to get us a long ways. So, maybe we need to get to $1 million in our budgeting. That's going to happen during our CIP process here. I'm still not real comfortable with that, but maybe that's where we have to get to. But I don't want us to show the potential vendors that we have more than $1 million in our wallet and have them just take it. I think the world looks at what we've done and they said, oh gosh, they got a table here that says it's going to be 1.3. Guess what? All of our bids are going to be around 1.3 except for somebody who wants it at 1.2. We shouldn't open our wallet and show these guys what we got. We ought to give them a budget and see what happens. Thanks.
And I think you're accurate, Councilmember Todd. The project out for bid.
Is his mic on?
I don't. Is your mic on? Hey, to your.
The project went out for bid when times were good. You know, the stars. What do you want me to do?
Craig, I think you need to get closer to the mic. It's not projecting.
Better? Hello? I'll speak up. So, the construction companies were fat with labor and the opportunities were abound. So, I agreed with the motion to pull it off the table before. But, like I said, then the reason I support it is that I didn't want the project to languish. So I'm glad we're talking about this again. Everybody's comments here have been spot on. I mean, it's just the reality of the times we're living in.
Correct. And just identified on page 5 of your package, there's a few items that we, actions, proactive steps that we as a city can take to set us up, ourselves up for success. And one of them is to advertise the project in November. And so this addendum, or amendment, I should say, number 4 to SVR, includes a certain scope, fee, and schedule. And they are on track for producing the package, repackaging the design for November. I'll also say, just in the spirit of not tarnishing a good consultant's reputation, that these dollars were not carefully scrutinized by the consultant. They're out of budget. So these were conversational dollars between SVR and myself. The next steps, if we give them green light to proceed, is for them to go back to their engineer's estimate and segregate the different elements, base bid, alternate A, B, C, and D. So this is just for council to have an idea as to what percentages go to where in this design. They're not intended for accuracy.
So if we move forward, back with, so they're going to come back with it segmented. Do we have to take an entire segment? In other words, if segment 2 is 370,000 and we only have 200,000.
So in the specs, we would identify the basis of award, and council could always choose to reject all bids. Now, given the fact that we already rejected all bids before, it would probably not be in the best interest for the city to do that. So, and what I mean is we want to have a good reputation that when we advertise a project that we actually intend to award. So that's something that we have to do in-house. One of the things that we can do if we adjust the budget to this project is to disclose that, which, by the way, any contractor can look at our CIP. They would already know what our budget is. At this time, all of these documents, the bid tabs, are public. So they know what the lowest bid was when we bid this project. They know what the highest and the engineer's estimate. So it doesn't leave much room for, you know, guessing, if you will. We are planning on repackaging the project so that instead of having bid items, we would have a lump sum category. So sometimes for park projects, that results in better bids. It depends on many factors, but that's a possibility. So that's one of the things that we can do as a city proactively in repackaging this project.
What does that mean? I'm sorry. The lump sum package.
Right. So when we
all three components of the project.
Right. So when the contractors bid, they had to bid. There's a table in the specs that looks very similar to the engineer's estimate that we have here as an attachment to this package. And they see and they bid on every single bid item. So rather than having them bid on every catch basin, on every pipe, they could bid on a category, for instance, drainage or planting, and rather than having to bid on every single bid item. That's what that means.
A couple questions. First, are we being asked to approve the contract and authorize this to be sent out for rebid?
No, tonight's request is simply for the professional services agreement.
Okay. And then second, Gina, can you help me understand table one? Help me understand what these alternatives are and the estimated cost. Is that based on the low bid that we previously received?
So the dollars in table one, again, they're estimated dollars based on a conversation that I had with SVR. They're not accurate dollars. They're not necessarily based on the engineer's estimate or on the lowest bid. They're just a potential breakdown as to how these categories would result in. So, for instance, if you look at the base bid, those elements, they're estimated at $655. They could be somewhere between $600 and $655.
Okay, what I'm trying to understand the alternative. So when we get to alternative A, is that the base bid plus A?
No, that is just alternate A. So they're independent from each other. So when we were talking about how would we award this, one of the ways that we can do the basis of award is based on the lowest bidder, based on the base bid, or based on the total. But we would want to disclose what is our total budget and reserve the right for council to award, for instance, base bid, plus whatever alternates council chooses to award.
So the base bid would get us basically the grading, the drainage,
irrigation,
the
drainage,
paths.
Yes.
Then we can decide, depending on the bids, what to add from there.
That's correct. Okay.
So these are going to be separate bid, one bid package with separate items?
Correct. They're called. Okay. They're referred to as schedules. And they would bid on a base bid, and then Schedule A or Alternate A would be just what's included here. Hillside Play, there would be a lot more description than just what I have here.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
I need a little clarification, Gina, because this was put together before I came on board, but I think as I'm catching up on this, we have a design for a park, and we hired a firm that gave us a proposed engineering, a proposed budget for that park, and we wanted to go ahead. And when we went out to bid, it was way too expensive, right?
Correct.
I'm okay so far? So what we're trying to do is make this design work within the budget constraints we originally thought were possible, correct?
Not from my perspective. I believe that the design as we have it today and the budget are not aligned.
That's what I think, too. So we have a design. We technically... would we have approved this design if we knew how much it was going to cost? I don't know. It sounds like a pretty elaborate design, the little bit that I can see out of this picture and everything. Maybe what we're trying to do is we have a design. We thought it cost a mil. It's costing a lot more than that. We don't want to spend that much on a park, but we're still trying to make this design work, and maybe that's the mistake here. The design is not – either we're going to have to increase the budget or change the design. Maybe we're trying to make a park that we just can't afford to build. And so if we break this thing up, my concern is we're going to have certain bids on certain elements of it, and then nobody bids on the other part of it, and then we're going to be, what do we do now? I really don't like that either, and dealing with a bunch of different contractors on one, it's like building a house with 16 different generals on it, or six different general contractors. I worry that's going to be a problem too. So I'm not really a fan of breaking it up. I think our problem is the design costs more than we thought it was going to cost, and we are not comfortable with spending that kind of money for a park. Great park, but that's a lot of money. We could create a park for less, not this park that I'm looking at here. So maybe our issue, I wonder if we're trying to, I worry about delaying another project again when you come back and it doesn't work again, and we're still not building the park and we're still arguing. And yet we spent some money on some additional fees. I think our problem here is the design needs to be rethought. Or we have to decide as a council, we're okay with building this park at the additional cost.
So I like what you're saying, but I feel we can't spend the money, because if we restart, we don't have to redesign. The money we designed is just gone, of no value, which I don't want to do. So we're in a place. And we can do it. Or we decide money to do this project and make it happen. But is with the restart.
I agree with you. I think you just said it. We need to scale back the scope. We can't build this thing.
Or
we might need to
designate for parks. We can't spend it on fire service and police, so this project.
Other REIT services that we need that
money. Well, it's parks. I mean, we have the parks, and yes.
By doing what's in table one, we're essentially potentially phasing in the park as we can afford it. So we could do, let's say for $1 million, we could do the base bid plus C, and then if there's money in the future or other development mitigation funds, then we can go back and say, oh, let's go ahead and do A now.
That's correct. I mean, the project would already be designed, and we can do a phase two, phase three with the current design. That's another option.
But this design that we have and the table here is suitable for phasing. We're not going to phase it and leave out a critical.
Correct. So now with the caveat that alternate B, that is tied to the other item that we have in tonight's agenda, which is the ILA.
I was just going to add, going to the comments that we just had, was even if we sent this back to redesign, we're going to have that base bid. That's the base amount of work that probably for any design is going to need to be done. So I think this, what's being put in front of us, gives us the ability to do exactly what Councilmember Bond and Steck were talking about. It gives us the option. If we can do the base park, we could do something more. We could decide we could don't want to do anything. But this gives us that flexibility to do that, which the way we sent the bids out originally did not. So I think this makes sense.
Correct. That is correct. Base bid are the basic improvements that this area needs in order for it to be more functional than it is today.
Mike, do you have anything to add?
Thanks. Just a second. I've got to get off mute. I think it was Councilmember Steckler earlier said, just breaking this into pieces. Breaking things into pieces and having people mobilize at different points over time does add cost. And so doing it all at once usually makes sense, because the contract you pick does the base bid plus schedule A, B, and C, and he gets some efficiency by bidding those all at once. If you come back later and say, okay, now let's add the Hillside Park, 2 years later, it won't be the same price, not just for inflation, but because there's a second mobilization and just overhead of the thing. So you got to be careful. Just breaking it into pieces and spreading it out over time is just kicking the can down the road. That's not really the right answer, unless you've got a cash flow problem. And I don't think we've got a cash flow problem necessarily. We have a too many wants for not enough revenue overall problem, but it's not a cash flow problem. Second thing is the I'm sorry, I lost it. I guess I'm still going back to something Gina said earlier, and I heard her. She says, you know, the table one was not intended for accuracy, and I get it. But this, as Gina also pointed out, this is part of the public record. I'm just really concerned that we've now set an expectation that we somehow think this is 1.3. I'm still fighting back on the 1.3. I really think if we just took, I'm guessing, but if we took the 1.3, if we took the bid package we sent out whenever month it was, when people already were booked up for the season, if we sent it out in November, I suspect we would come back with a lower number. That's what other cities have seen. That's what agencies around the state see on transportation projects. You talk to the TIB guys who see a lot of bids go out. They're all road projects. November is the ideal time to bid this, because then people can plan on what their construction season is going to be. So I think we'll see some savings by rebidding it just the way it was in November. I'm in favor of spending $20,000 with the consultant to get this bridge broken into pieces in case it comes in more than we, our CIP discussion next month will allow us to spend. But I want to be really clear in that addendum that the consultant understands the scope of the work, which they've got listed, and the cost of the work, which they've got listed at $20,000. But I want to see a schedule in there. I want them to commit in their request for modification of the contract that they will have a bid package done in November. I know that's what we're talking about, but Budget Management 101, you get scope, you get schedule, you get cost. You nail those things down. You do not turn architect loose on your kitchen remodel without being clear on those things. We don't turn this architect loose on this without being clear on that. I need to see that. Thanks.
So on page 8 of your package tonight, towards the top of the page, the third bullet down, it reads, this amendment is based on project being advertised for bid in the fourth quarter of 2018. If pushed into 2019, we will need additional review, revision of specifications and costs. It is the consultant's intention and mine to advertise in November before the Thanksgiving holiday.
And bids to be back
in December.
So that's great. Just write it down. We need a schedule. We will not be happy if it is the last day of Q4 2018. We would be happy if it's before Thanksgiving. So write it down.
We can do that. Anything else?
Bob, the motion that you're looking for is?
The recommended action, and if you want to include changing the timeline from the fourth quarter to a date specific in November, the staff would support that.
Okay, so you want a motion to authorize the city manager to execute addendum number 4 to contract 2017-1319 for professional services with MIG/SVR in the amendment amount not to exceed $20,900 and increase the Exploration Park project budget by in the upcoming 2019-24 capital improvement plan. And then where do the dates go in there that Mike wants?
For a bid package to be delivered in November of 2018.
Does that do it for you, Mike?
Perfect. Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Pam.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay. Next up is the Exploration Park interlocal agreement with Snohomish County.
Thank you, Mayor. This should be an easier discussion for you, where the last one was spending money. This, of course, is receiving money. This interlocal agreement will allow you to receive $100,000 from Snohomish County for the Exploration Park project we just talked about, and more specifically, the playground equipment. I wanted to note that the county is currently reviewing some minor changes that the city attorney's office has provided in regards to the agreement that you have in your packet. That should not prevent you from accepting or authorizing me to execute this agreement. I would just ask that you do, when you make your motion, if you make a motion, that you authorize me to execute the agreement in substantially the same form, which would allow for some minor modifications that have been presented to Snohomish County. And I'd ask Jean if she has any additional information to present. If not, we welcome any questions that council might have.
I don't have any additional information.
Okay, Councilmember
Cavallari. Thanks, Mayor. The action on this has to be by the end of 2018 to receive this $100K. Is that correct? Or I know we talked about there was a sunset period.
So we've been in conversations with Snohomish County, Parks Division, and they understand that if we advertise this project in November, open bids in December, that most likely the contractor is not going to get started until January. So we would be seeing invoices in January. They're looking into rolling this ILA into the 2019 budget, their budget.
I'll add that, that section 4.3 of the ILA requires the invoice to be submitted from the city to the county by December 30 of 2020. And if it does that, then it's a timely invoice, and the county will pay on it.
Thanks. Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
So we're looking for a motion to authorize the city manager to execute an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County to receive up to $100,000 for the purpose of helping the city of Mill Creek fund exploration park improvements, including a new playground structure. Scott?
With the added language, comma, provided that the ILA is in substantially the same form as provided in the packet.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second this one. Always second money.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. We are moving right along. Okay. Next up is an interlocal agreement with Everett Public Schools for the purpose of sharing costs associated Department's School Resource Officer Program. Bob?
Thank you, Mayor. This interlocal agreement would allow for the continuation of the School Resource Officer Program in the Everett School District, with the school district paying for the school resource officer's time while school is in session. And I'd ask the police chief to provide you with information, and the recommendation is to authorize me to execute this interlocal agreement.
We've been partners with Everett Public Schools since 1996 for a school resource officer program. This is essentially just a rollover of what's been an ongoing contract for that time. There are no substantial differences between this contract and previous contracts. There have been some adjustments to the monetary contribution that the school district is making. We came up with a different formula. The school district is paying for a police officer for 182 days. Out of the year, so that represents about a 7% increase in how much money the city has been receiving over the last several years in the school district's contribution. That gives us 180 days of school plus the day before and the day after, and we dedicate the officer to that. It's a shorter term contract. As we continue to, the school district evolves and the city evolves, we want to try and create the next contract with maybe a little bit more forward thinking and looks down the road. But this is going to allow us to continue to keep our police officer in school. We have a new officer started. His first day of school was today, as a matter of fact, Josh Saga. So this will allow us to continue providing that service. And this also builds into our agreement some accountability. We've implemented, and it's included in your packet, the school resource officer program expectations and a set of procedures that that provide some guidelines for how we implement the program. Basically, like we've done with some of our other programs, we've built on the successes we've had. Moving forward, we want to make it even better. This also brings some consistency between the city of Mill Creek and the city of Everett. Everett Police Department provides police officers to Everett Public Schools, as we do. The common denominator is the Everett Public Schools, and so we want to try and maintain and create some consistency so the schools receive similar service no matter which police department they're getting it from. Again, any questions?
Thanks, Chief. So we have this, under this agreement, we have one SRO for three, covering all three schools.
Right. So one of the changes that we made, previous agreements obligated the city to provide a police officer to Jackson High School for 75% of their time and Heatherwood Middle School for 25% of their time. Part of the reason this is a shorter term agreement is we couldn't get all of those details ironed out at the time those agreements were set in place. Jackson didn't have almost 2,300 students. And so our police officer spends all of his time at Jackson, unless there's a reason to go to Heatherwood or to Mill Creek Elementary. So this represents one police officer who will dedicate their time and energy at Jackson High School and be available should a need arise at either Heatherwood or Mill Creek Elementary to help out there.
Think that's enough?
that's you feel comfortable with it being? The reason I asked, I've talked to folks in the public, I've also talked to our superintendent, and I've heard that they don't think that that's enough. SRO for all three schools with the growing population, it's the same. You can go ahead. But.
Yeah, I would say that that's the reason that this is a shorter-term contract, because we really want to get some really in-depth conversations and analysis of school needs so we can bring that forward. And if that identifies that we need two SROs to provide service to three schools, we may come back at some point in the future and say, hey, we need to try and figure something out. So I would say, without any substantive fact behind it, my impression is that we're not providing the level of service that we would like to provide to the school district, to those three schools. We're doing the best we can with what we have.
Thank you.
But the school district, if they want to pay more, then we'll be looking at a program. But it seemed, from what I heard, it was that they didn't want to pay. They thought we should pay for an SRO at the same time that we're, you know, they have their own taxing base. They pull money out of here.
Sure.
And I don't personally have a problem with providing service as long as they're willing to pay for it.
Right. And
we give them one heck of a deal, because
right.
I know what the other school districts are around are paying. I know some may subsidize, but, you know, with the money situation, with all the governments being tight, but if they want to pay for it, then...
Sure, and that's part of the ongoing discussions. You know, we're partners in school safety, and so in any partnership, we need to figure out, you know, we're going to go on a date, who's going to pay for what? And that may be one person or one entity pays for the foots the whole bill, or that we partner somehow. And those are answers I just don't have right now. That's the work that we're going to be doing moving forward.
And we do respond to calls for service if they have a need there.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like we're
correct.
We are right there on the spot. So. Okay, any other questions, comments? Mark?
Yes, thank you. So, and some of the law enforcement career, especially resource officer, data officer, middle school officer, I think in the student teach school, there's no impediment today, in my opinion, for having a full-time officer at the elementary school. And Heatherwood, fortunately for us, is located right next to the high school. So the officer can spend their time at the high school and then, as needed, adjust. I mean, if some weird issues start bubbling up at the middle school, they're going to address it and have to work out the details with the school district as far as who's spending what time where. I will tell you, though, it's not just a one-sided thing like, well, the school district is getting this great service. They are. It is a wonderful thing for them. But it is a huge blessing to the officers that support that school resource officer, because the patrol people get, I got a 17-year-old kid with a skateboard and a bone in his nose that just threw Susie Q down the hill. They don't know who that guy is, or maybe they do, but they call the school resource officer and say, this is what I got, and boom, I'll get it. I'll talk to that kid tomorrow, we'll handle this. And so something like that can get resolved where it may not get resolved at all, left to patrol. That's the size of our community and the presence of our cops makes this somewhat different. At the county level, that's absolutely very difficult because of the geography involved. But there's also lots of little things that officer's presence at the school prevents, found property thefts, things get, he can go and get that property back before it's an issue. You know, if you wait 2 days, the iPhone and the iPad, whatever, it's gone. But if the kid goes to the school resource officer and says, hey, this is what happened, that officer handles it then, and it just creates a way better quality of life. And ultimately, it's a call that doesn't get dispatched to the patrol officer when Johnny gets home and says, Mom, my iPad's gone. And then they call 911. And so I love this. I'm glad that Everett's willing to pay and help us. But it is a win for both of us at a much bigger level than you might see at first blush. It's not just standing there making sure nobody comes and shoots up the school. That, of course, is the fear that we all, the worst case scenario is school violence. But taking care of all these little things and also having your finger on the pulse of the students who might be inclined to act violent and maybe work with them to find some other path as difficult as that sounds, it's just a program that I support, and I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm glad we reached some agreement with them being willing to help out. Some of the schools have been talking about less and less,
right?
And I'm glad Everett's found a common ground.
The Everett Public Schools has put a tremendous priority on school, student, and staff safety, and it's a good partnership for us to have. Again, this is a one-year deal to get us through the school year, so we can engage in some more of those conversations. And some of the things that Councilmember Bond mentions are immeasurables, right? We can't put a number that it takes this many police officers to make this many widgets at this school. There are a lot of things that we can't measure. So as we paint a picture of need, it's more than just how many calls were there at Heatherwood Middle School. It goes beyond that. The flip side, for us is we do see a benefit. That the workload for the patrol officers Monday through Friday during school year gets spread out a little bit more equitably because there's somebody dedicated to handle those things and not just be responsive but be proactive. And, you know, if the police officer is sitting on the side of the road in a marked police car, people don't speed by that. Well, they do, but most of the time they don't. If a police officer is in school, just that presence has a positive impact and makes everybody feel safer and could stop things that we just can't measure.
I just want to put my two cents worth in that actually I see this as a positive, huge positive, that Jackson's getting an officer full-time. They're entering their most overcrowded year of their existence to the point where we have a potential powder keg of opportunity there given the challenges those students are going to face. I'm really glad to hear that we're going to have an officer there full-time.
The more kids that we put into that school or any school, it just creates more potential for, and it's not just the school shooting, right? It's a fight in the hallway. It's a disagreement between sophomores and juniors that could escalate to something off school grounds. It's the more people you shove in it, the more danger there is.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm also going to support this. I think it's fantastic that we're involved with the schools. The school district is getting a heck of a deal at that price tag from what other agencies are billing the other school districts. Just throwing that out there that we're doing our fair share by keeping the cost down. One of the things I was curious about was like the subsequent school hours, football games, school dances. There's no requirements there. Is there a billing component or mechanism set up for stuff like that? I mean, are we...
Right, so there are some elements within the ILA and the associated handbook and expectations officers may need to adjust hours and adjust times to take care of off-school events. What we've done historically, say it's the senior night graduation and they need two police officers, that's a separate contract. Just a one-time, hey, two officers, 2 days, we'll sign a deal, and that's funded separately outside of this. A lot of it, we do expect the officers to provide some flexibility and be able to not work on Tuesday because school's out and come to the game or dance on Saturday because that's where it's happening. So we have some of those expectations built into this. But if we have a dedicated, this is happening, we'll create a contract that we'll build a school district for.
I think that's important. Accountability for the resources we're putting out there is certainly an expectation. Thank you.
Authorize the interim city manager to execute the interlocal agreement between the City of Mill Creek and Everett Public Schools concerning the school resource officer.
So moved.
Mike?
Yeah, can I chime in on a couple things?
Yeah.
Thank you. I agree completely. This is a short-term agreement, and I agree that this is, you know, what we need to do as we develop a longer strategic approach and a future agreement. That's great. I'm unfortunately burdened by having read the whole packet, and there's a discrepancy between the reports that are called out in the agenda summary and the reports that are called out in the ILA, and I would like to make sure we are clear on what we are agreeing to do. And I think it's also that should probably appear in the SRO's SOP. It's just good management practice to be clear on what we expect the SRO to be doing in terms of process itself. Is it two reports a year or three reports? What are due dates? It's just a one-year agreement, but let's get that squared away. I think the reporting is new this year. It's great we get the report. Let's just clean that up. Thanks.
So the answer to that question is it's two reports a year, one by the end of January, one by the end of June. That is a product of this ongoing review of how we're doing what we're doing and how can we do it better. So we did build that in, some reporting mechanisms. There was a discrepancy between one of the drafts of the agenda summary and the ILA. Those things bounced around quite a bit as we passed this information. That was one that I just didn't catch when I made an adjustment to the agenda summary. So the agenda summary, the official copy now, Gina, correct, is accurate. That reflects that there will be two written reports to the school district from the police department per year in January and in June and the end of each of those months. But during January and June of each year, and again, this is just one school year because that's all the duration of this agreement. We will engage in ongoing conversations during that month with school staff on that draft report and then finalize it by the end of the year or the end of that month. And then there was another question posed about the meeting between the school superintendent and the city manager. Those are kind of two separate things. We'll do our reporting twice a year, but then we'll also want to make sure that the city manager and the superintendent have an opportunity to sit down and just ask each other how are things going. And so I think we clarified that, Councilmember Todd, in the revised summary this afternoon. Copies are in your blue folder.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm looking at the summary that I just pulled up online, and I'm still confused. But if the ILA is correct, and that's what we're approving tonight, I'm fine with it. Thanks for checking on that.
Absolutely, and I appreciate your suggestion about including that in our SRO handbook, and we'll make that happen because that's a living, breathing document that we can make adjustments to. So I appreciate that.
Yes, his comments were largely in the agenda summary, which you have a revised strikeout version this evening.
Correct.
Correct.
All right. No, that's fine. Okay, so as previously stated, we need a motion to authorize the city manager to execute the interlocal cooperative agreement between the City of Mill Creek and Everett Public Schools concerning the School Resource Officer Program. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, Mike? Is that an aye, Mike?
Yeah, sorry, aye.
Okay, thank you. Noes, so it passes unanimously. And we're on to the next topic, which is the legal agreement.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So this is an agreement for professional legal services covering a three-year period from January 2016 through the end of this year. 80% of this agreement is covering a not-to-exceed amount, which has already been authorized and paid, so it can be viewed as a housekeeping measure. The remaining amount in that not-to-exceed amount for professional legal services will be spent throughout the remainder of this year. It's my recommendation that Council authorize me to enter into the professional services agreement or legal services agreement with Ogden Murphy Wallace, the city's law firm, and serves as the city's city attorney's office, and I'd be glad to address any questions that the council would have at this time.
Authorize the city manager to execute the agreement for professional legal services with Ogden Murphy Wallace.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstained. Aye.
Thank you, Mike. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Up is the consent agenda. And Carmen made some
good points. Do you have anything to say about her concerns before we move to? Well, and then before we get his comments, I recall a year or two ago we had a discussion and we kind of agreed informally on a process where ordinances were going to be brought to us for a quasi-first reading, so to speak, and then we wouldn't take action to the following week unless we felt there was a desire to move forward. So I would anxious to hear the city attorney's comments, but I would ask that we
move it.
I would ask that we pull this from the consent agenda and at least have a very short report on it at an upcoming meeting.
Yeah, just a very short comment, which is that the language that's being added to the code is taken straight from statute, from legislative acts that were passed, and it's a legitimate comment that was made by the member of the audience, but it probably doesn't take account of the fact that there is additional language in the state law, which says that nothing in this section impairs an applicant's rights under state anti-discrimination laws. And so, as I heard the concern expressed earlier, this language would address that. I had the same issues when I first read the ordinance until I went back to the state law. So I don't have any substantive questions. You're approving changes to your ordinance that match state legislature at this point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I just think we should be given the public an opportunity to comment on it. So I would just ask, I would make a motion we pull it from the consent agenda. It sounds like the staff report could be very brief at an upcoming meeting, but at least that way the public will have an opportunity to provide input.
Okay, so you have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second, Councilmember Cavallari.
I guess the reason that we're reviewing this is because of the ability and the need to be a citizen to carry a firearm. Is that kind of the nexus of the argument here?
Are you looking at me? I have no idea. We actually weren't consulted about this ordinance, and my understanding of the state law is very thin. It doesn't seem to talk about guns or anything.
So civil service rules, and we ran into this at the sheriff's office, and I think this is where this comes from, is a lot of it is if you are not a citizen, you cannot carry a firearm in a law enforcement agency, unless, of course, there is some sort of agreement between the agency and civil service. So I think that, because when Carmen brought this up earlier, it's, you know, struck my memory a little bit, and it was a very good comment, but I think that the rules fall under civil service. It has to do with the ability to carry a weapon.
Okay, well, we can get this scheduled. Assuming that there's a vote to move it. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to second. Second.
Okay. So any further discussion? So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed, abstentions, passes unanimously. So for the remaining part of the consent agenda, we have item H, City Council meeting minutes of June 5th, 2018. Special City Council meeting minutes of June 12th, 2018. Special City Council meeting minutes of June 13th, 2018. Special City Council meeting minutes of June 19th, 2018, City Council meeting minutes of July 3rd, 2018, and City Council meeting minutes of July 10th, 2018. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, abstentions, passed. Now down to reports. I'd just like to say that I enjoyed going to the farmer's market this year. I've talked with Bob. The council will do a postmortem with staff in December or January. We're kind of busy to see what we can do to make it better. But I really enjoyed going to the farmer's market. I enjoyed it for the first year. I hope we are able to have it on a different day and maybe go from of nice people there, and I don't want to discuss how much money I spent, but everything I got was a great value. So, anyway,
no report.
No report, Mayor.
No report.
Very briefly, SCT took the summer off. I think I missed the June meeting where the only significant action was the annual dues. And I think our dues increased by $163 for the coming year, but we'll pick back up in September.
Okay. City Manager?
Just wanted to...
Mike.
Oh, Mike, do you have any comment, any reports?
Yeah, real quick. I think people may have, should have received in their email. If not, we can send it out again. But Dave Summers was the author of a save the date for a joint SCT-SCC meeting on September 26th. I encourage people, it's 5:30 to 8, evening meeting. And it's a Wednesday night. I encourage everyone, even if your work schedule makes it tough, and you can put in time. This is talking about, I think it's called the future of our, the future we choose. And this is all about future planning. This is a big deal. Our citizens are concerned about congestion and house prices and all kinds of things in our area. Whether they're in Mill Creek or around Mill Creek, we play a role in that. I think it's important that we engage in that discussion. So I encourage everyone to try to make time to attend that session. This is a chance for the entire county and all the cities to talk about what we want to do, future planning with respect to growth in particular, but also transportation figures into that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Bob?
Just referencing the council's planning schedule for the remainder of the meetings that we have this year. We have 10 meetings scheduled, and you can see our agendas are building, covering a number of policies, budget, capital improvement plan, fees, developments. So it'll be a busy remainder of the year for us. And if you have any questions about any of the items on the calendar, I'd be glad to address those now or later as you see fit. Nothing else, Mayor.
And we're not going to do anything with the other stuff. It's just there for reference?
It's there for information. If council has questions, we'd be glad to address any questions that you have.
Audience communication, last chance, going once, twice. Okay, thank you for coming. Welcome back to work. And with that, we are adjourned.
One more thing's on the agenda. Yeah.